Happy Thanksgiving. Today is a special day for all of us as we thank God for so many of His blessings on our lives. This is a special Thanksgiving edition of Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. You can hear this broadcast again with your children and family anytime online at parentingtoday.org. And now, with a special Thanksgiving broadcast, here's the story of Squanto, as told by Dr. Bob Barnes.
The story of Thanksgiving really starts many years before the first Thanksgiving. It begins in 1606 in Yorkshire, England. There were two groups that were unhappy with the Church of England at that time, and they decided to make a change. The first group decided to change the Church of England from inside. This group was called Puritans. The second group decided to separate from the Church of England. They were called Separatists. And they felt the Church of England was too corrupt to do anything from inside, and so they separated. And in 1606, there were about 1,000 separatists worshiping in their own homes, preaching, singing, and actually reading the Bible. King James I had had enough with these separatists, and he hounded them, imprisoned them, and drove them underground. And finally, William Bradford and other members of this new underground church fled to Leyden, Holland, so they could worship in freedom. But Holland didn't turn out to be as hospitable as they expected. They became penniless foreign immigrants that were only permitted to do labor and couldn't do their professions. So by 1619, in pursuit of religious and social freedom, they decided to leave Holland. As they looked for a place to go, they began to believe that God was calling them to America. They believed that despite what they'd heard about the horrors of the settlers in Virginia and how they'd starved and how they'd been attacked by the Native Americans. And so even with all of that and all that they'd heard, they decided that God was calling them to America, and they began a year of prayer before they went and decided to attach themselves to a land company. Why were they going? Well, they were going in order to worship God, and their pastor, John Robinson, began to pray that they would get that. And in his diary, we even have a quote from his diary that he really thought that America would be the new Jerusalem. So the next quest is how to get there. And they were down to about 600 members at the time when they decided to go back to England, attach themselves to a land company, and that these separatists, well, the separatists would divide themselves up, and some would become people who would take this pilgrimage, and they began even to adopt the name Pilgrims. They set sail first on two boats, the smaller Speedwell and the larger Mayflower, and they set sail for the New World on August 5th, 1620. 3 days out, the smaller boat, the Speedwell, was in trouble, and they returned to England to the port of Dartmouth. 1 week later, after repairs had been made on the Speedwell, the two ships set sail again, but once again the Speedwell had problems, and they returned to a port in England called Plymouth. They decided to abandon the Speedwell. The party got smaller, and 102 people decided to go on the Mayflower, setting sail for the third time from England across the Atlantic. The pilgrimage was far more severe than they could possibly have imagined. Storms and freezing cold and abuse from the sailors and laughing at their faith. And finally, after 3 months of trying and 3 months of that first sailing experience, on November 9th, they spotted land in what we now know as Cape Cod, Massachusetts. They'd begun their journey kneeling on the dock of Delfshaven, Holland, and now they chose to start their new journey, their next step, kneeling on the sands of Cape Cod. But their journey in this new land was very difficult and not very hospitable. 16 men went ashore and for 3 weeks searched for a place to find. And finally, on December 6th, they camped on the shore for the night and were attacked by the Native Americans in that area. This was a very discouraging time for them. It was more hardship than they expected, and they continued with snow to do a boat tour of Cape Cod, finally landing in a place that we know today as Plymouth. They started in Plymouth, England, and they landed in Plymouth, Massachusetts. In the weeks of December and January, they established a common house and a main street and built smaller house. But this is the worst winter than they could possibly imagine. 102 landed. That December 6th died of ammonia. In January, 8 more died of ammonia. And they felt that they were in a life and death battle with Satan himself as they were the light of Christ coming to this new continent. On January 14th and Sunday in a common house while they were there, sleeping on mats, the roof finally caught on fire And then in February, 17 more died. March, 13 more died. At this point, 47 people of the original crew had died. Nearly half this group. 13 of the 18 wives have died. Only three families remained intact. They stopped and they thanked God. And they thanked God that it wasn't as bad compared to Jamestown, where over 80% had died in that first year. They were making it through the winter, half starving to death, running out of food. Their hunting and fishing had failed. And they were questioning, had God really called them to this new land? Had they made a mistake? And their diaries indicate that they even doubted God's plan here. But what we're going to see in the story of Thanksgiving here, this first Thanksgiving, is a true outpouring of Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good, not just most things, everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Because there's a parallel story that went on at the very same time as these pilgrims were landing. And the parallel story goes back even a little earlier in the early 1600s when English and Portuguese slave ships would not only cruise Africa, but they would cruise North America. And as they were cruising North America, they were capturing Native Americans and taking them back. A man named Captain George Weymouth captured five Indians and took them back from the Cape Cod region. And they took these five Indians back to England for one reason, to teach them English so that they could question them at the extent of the tribes that were all up and down the New England area and in the New World. After 9 years, in 1614, a sympathetic captain took an interest in one of these Patuxet Indians and took him home to Cape Cod. But another slave ship led by Captain Thomas Hunt recaptured this Indian within months, along with 19 other Native Americans, and took them back to Portugal and sold them for £20 each. Now, it doesn't sound good, but in the awesomeness of God, a few were purchased and rescued by local friars, and these religious men led these three Indians to Christ. One was the original Indian who had been taught English. And so this English-speaking Native American, now a Christian, had a burden for his tribe back in the New World. This Native American, this Patuxet, was very enterprising, left the monastery, attached himself to an Englishman bound for London, and joined the household of this wealthy man. In 1619, a man named Captain Dermer took this Indian back and dropped him off in the Cape Cod region. We know this Indian's name. It was Squanto. He was able to speak English. He was now a Christian. He stepped on shore to lead his people to Christ as a missionary, only to find out the most tragic blow of his life. Not a man, woman, or child of this tribe was alive. They had all died of pneumonia. Despondent, Squanto wandered in and became a part of another tribe, although apparently, according to the information on him, he didn't do much with the tribe. He hung alone and thought his life was over and wondered, why have you done this with me, God? Why did you bring me to yourself so that I could come back and share with my people only to find out they're not there? But his purpose soon became obvious, and Squanto, 6 months before the pilgrims had arrived, had returned home. Squanto had no reason to live, or so he thought, until another Indian, a man named Samoset, came to him and said, they're speaking that language that you know. I've heard you talk that language, and they're speaking that language. I think it's the same language. And these two walked into camp to the shock of these pilgrims, because the pilgrims heard him speak English, and without him, they would surely die. See, this whole story of Thanksgiving is really an outpouring of Romans 8:28. For whatever we're dealing with, and we know that God causes everything, even the loss of a village, even the taking of a Native American to become a slave to learn English and become a Christian, we know that God causes everything, anything and everything we're dealing with, to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Squanto, speaking English, walked into the Plymouth colony that day, accompanied by his friends, and began teaching them how to fish, how to stalk deer, how to plant pumpkins, how to refine maple syrup, how to do beaver trapping and take it up the coast and sell it to other Indian tribes. So in the summer of 1621, which was a beautiful summer with a great harvest, the pilgrims, because of Squanto, were actually able to have a great harvest and make an amazing amount of money selling their pelts. Brimming with gratitude to Squanto, they invited Squanto and some of his people to come for a feast time. But in this feast time, an interesting thing happened. Squanto came with not just 9 or 10, he came with 90. And they were terrified that they would go through all of their winter food. At the beginning, though, Governor Bradford led the pilgrims that very first day in a public day of prayer. It was held in October. And as the 90 Indians came and they were beginning to do a public day of prayer, they realized that the Indians did not come without anything in their hands. They came with 5 deer, 12 wild turkey. They came and taught the pilgrims that day how to turn corn kernels, dried corn kernels, into popcorn. And it was such an amazing day of eating that it was a 3-day fest, opening with the prayer that we have of William Bradford. And he prayed like this: "Thank you, Lord, for providing all our needs, even when our faith had not been up to believing that you would do so or be able to do so. Thank you for the lives that have departed, for taking them home to be with you. Thank you for this friendship with this tribe and these people. So remarkable when settlers in the South in the Jamestown area had experienced just the opposite. For all your remarkable providence in bringing them to this place at this time, we thank you." Imagine this. 14 years earlier, two parallel paths started. Someone who was living here, purchased as a slave, taught English, only to be rescued, only to be captured as a slave again and come to Christ. And then a group that lived in that country brought here, and as they were brought here, had no clue how to make it here. But God had a plan because they followed his plan. They knew they were to leave England, go to Holland, come back from Holland, and go to the New World. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It's God's part to make everything work together for good. It's absolutely our part to know that and to live like that. This Thanksgiving is a great time and a great calling to remind ourselves and to remind our children and to remind the little eyes that are watching us that we don't really know what God is doing, but we know God is doing. And that it's a great time to say, whether you're out of work or blessed, that these blessings are from God. That Thanksgiving is not something that the turkey lobby came up with. Thanksgiving is a time to truly do what Abraham Lincoln did when he made it a national holiday in the midst of the Civil War, in the midst of all this renting and tearing that we're going through. We are thankful that God will do something in our lives. This is a time to bless God. This is a time to get with your children. This is a time to write down on paper all the things we're seeing God doing and helping our children get a focus off of all the things that God isn't doing that they want. It's a time to refocus on God, not to fixate on your battles, but to focus on God, to take captive every thought. And it says in 1 Chronicles 16:34, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." Give thanks. Let's turn that word around, Thanksgiving, to give thanks to God for what he's doing in our lives. Praise God and have a happy Thanksgiving.
You've been listening to a special edition of Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed the story of Squanto. If you'd like to hear this short story again and share it with friends and family, log on to parentingtoday.org. That's parentingtoday.org. To find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries and Dr. Bob Barnes, go to shfm.org. That's shfm.org. From all of us at Sheridan House Family Ministries and Parenting Today, happy Thanksgiving.